me get this ready. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. It's always a privilege to be gathered together worshiping the Lord on the Holy Sabbath day. And I thank Him for the privilege of being able to be here. It's certainly an awesome privilege and also a big responsibility. So I thank those of you who have been praying for me. Today, we begin a three-part series called GPS. Now, in the 21st century, we use this global positional system, or commonly known as GPS, to help us find our way. When we are going to an important destination, we make sure we get all the right directions to ensure that we make it there and that we make it there on time. I don't know if you've experienced this. I have no sense of direction, so I've had this experience many times when I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm completely, absolutely lost, have no idea where I'm at, and I have to be there at a certain time. It's a very frustrating experience. Some of you might relate. Some of you have a good sense of direction and get everywhere without any problems. But I've experienced that many times. Now, as Christians, we have a much more important and exciting destination to reach. And if getting lost will be more than frustrating, it will be devastating. The pastoral staff of the Forest Lake Church has been thinking and praying about the content of this series for quite a while. They've been thinking about what will be the GPS that will guide our church. And after much prayer and seeking God, they have come to the decision that there's these three guiding principles that are going to guide us as a church in this year. A passion for God, a passion for people, and a passion for service. God, people, service. GPS. Today I have the privilege to talk about a passion for God. I believe this is the most important of the three for two reasons. Without it, you cannot have the other two. And if you have it, there's no way you will not have the other two. In other words, if you don't have a passion for God, you will not have a passion for people and you will not have a true passion for service. And if you have a true passion for God, there's no way that you will not have the other. It will just automatically can happen. So I was given this privilege and I consider it a big privilege. I'm very excited about it. But before I begin, if you will join me in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit will be with us today. Speak to our hearts and our minds as we study such an awesome topic, Lord, to be passionate about you. I pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to understand what it is and how we can be passionate about you. Give us the desire, Lord, to be passionate about who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we, as I think about passion for God, I remember a young man I met 10 years ago. He was invited to preach at a church for a youth program. And he was probably 18, 19 years old, very young man. He was preaching in Spanish. I must say his Spanish was very bad. He did not preach the most eloquent sermon, but there was something very special about that young man, something different. He had a passion for God. He had a passion for God. And as I sat in the pew watching him preach, I said, Lord, I want to have that same passion. When he opened the Word of God and he was preaching, he was not talking about something that he just read in a book or his parents had taught him or that he had heard preached at the church. It was something that he had experienced personally, and you could tell. I'm sure you have met people like that. You know, when they're passionate about God, it is evident. They cannot hide it. You can see their passion in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. It's something that just surrounds all that they are. You guys may not be able to relate, but us girls, I'm sure, have experience watching some of our friends when they have a crush on a boy. And they have this, you know, even if they don't admit it, you know, they might not tell you, they might even deny it, but they can't hide it. They just can't hide it. They talk about this guy all the time, and every time they do, there's this twinkling in their eye. And even their voice changes, you know? They may be talking about something, and then when they start talking about the guy, it's just like the voice changes completely. And they're like, no, I don't like him, no. But you just can't hide it. They just can't hide it. Well, it is very similar when you see a Christian who has a passion for God. Except instead of seeing that foolish look in the face, you actually see a look of peace and joy. What Paul will call a peace that passes understanding. And the person that has a passion for God also has a twinkling in the eye, the voice, you can hear it, and they just want to talk about God all the time. They just want to talk about God all the time. Let's look at some people in the Bible who had a passion for God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 26. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses had a passion for God. It says here, he esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the riches or the treasures of Egypt. He had a passion for God. There's many people in the Bible that had a passion for God, but today I want to share with you some of my favorites. In Daniel, it's another one that had a passion for God. And Ellen G. White says in Prophets and Kings, page 482, talking about Daniel, and this is when Daniel had been offered the king's food and he has chosen to refuse it. It says, but Daniel did not hesitate. The approval of God was dearer to him than the favor of the most powerful earthly potentate, dearer than life itself. He determined to stand firm in his integrity, let the result be what it might. Daniel says the approval of God was dearer to him than life itself. Daniel had a passion for God. In Daniel 6, verse 10, we see Daniel in a different position now. The wise men had convinced the king to pass this decree. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. That anyone who prayed to anyone except the king for 30 days would be thrown into the lions. Now, anyone could say, well, it's just 30 days. I'll just, you know, I can go without prayer for 30 days. Or I'll hide and pray for 30 days. But Daniel has such a passion for God. It says, now, in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, three times a day. Now, I wish I had that passion. I've been trying to do that, and it always seems like I do my morning devotion, and I'm trying to stop in the middle of the day and have that prayer time and before I go to bed, and it's just so hard to find that time. But when you have that passion for God, it's not something you have to struggle to do. You just hunger for that time. Just hunger for that. And Daniel, it was such a hunger for him that he couldn't live without it for 30 days. He couldn't live without it for even one day. So even the very day that they passed the decree, he was there praying to God. Daniel had a passion for God. Paul, one of my favorites, in Philippians 1:21, we know that certainly Paul had a passion for God. We're just going to look at two verses that shows us that passion. In Philippians 1, verse 21, here Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 8, he says, "Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul had a passion for God. Now, one more person I want to share with you, and that's Ellen G. White. And I'm going to read from Early Writings, page 12. Here, Ellen White had been impressed that she needed to pray in public, and that was something that terrified her. So even though she had received the impression, she ignored it. And it became such a burden that she had stopped even praying, and she had gone into depression. She went to her mom seeking for some guidance. Her mom sent her to someone else who gave her some encouraging words. And after that, she says, "I returned home and again went before the Lord and promised that I would do and suffer anything if I could have the smiles of Jesus." The smiles of Jesus. And same book, page 76, here she had been given the visions, and it says, "When the Lord first gave me messages to deliver to his people, it was hard for me to declare them. And I often softened them down and made them as mild as possible for fear of grieving some. It was a great trial to declare the messages as the Lord gave them to me. I did not realize that I was so unfaithful and did not see the sin and danger of such course until in vision I was taken into the presence of Jesus. He looked upon me with a frown and turned his face from me. It is not possible to describe the terror and agony I then felt. I fell upon my face before him, but had no power to utter a word." Here's a woman who had a passion for God. Just to think that her actions would bring a frown upon Jesus brought her to agony. She decided to do anything, not just so that she can have some blessings, not so that she can be in heaven, so she could see the smiles of Jesus. That's to have a passion for God. Now, as we see these people who have a passion for God, we can't help but wonder, how can I have the same passion? How can I have the same passion? As I have studied and looked into the lives of these people in the Bible and the ones that I've met in person, there's three things that I have seen in these people's lives, and I'm going to share those with you. The first one is prayer. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Here we have a verse that's very short, but very powerful. It says, "Pray without ceasing." pray without ceasing. Now, I couldn't understand for the longest time what was God requiring of me when he said pray without ceasing. I mean, not ceasing, that means not stopping. How can I pray all day? I just couldn't understand it. As I studied more, I understood better what that meant. In the book Steps to Christ, page 99, it says, pray, and it says, there is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. There's nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of earnest prayer. In the crowds of the street, in the midst of a business engagement, we may send up a petition to God and plead for divine guidance, as did Nehemiah when he made his request before King Artaxerxes. A closet of communion may be found wherever we are. Now, here is where I found the key to pray without ceasing. We should have the door of the heart open continually and our invitation going up that Jesus may come and abide as a heavenly guest in the soul. Even though she said, you know, anywhere we can pray, we cannot constantly be talking to God because then, you know, we have jobs to do. We have things that we have to do. So I always thought, you know, okay, so I'm constantly praying throughout the day. I'm not always on my knees, but I'm praying throughout the day. But I still have to stop praying so I can think about what I'm doing. So how do I pray without ceasing? And when I read this, I understood. We should have the door of the heart open continually and an invitation going up that Jesus may come and abide as a heavenly guest in the soul. As our hearts are open, that communication with God is open. And prayer is communication with God. Not just us talking to God, but he talking to us. So then I understood there's a lot of things I needed to change in my life if I was going to have that open communication with God continually. So I had to look at all the things I was doing and how were they affecting that. Friends. There were some friends I had to stay away from. Because when I was with them, my communication with God was not open. I was influenced by them in a negative way. So I had to stop. I still talk with them. I still have a friendship with them. But I don't stay with them for a long period of time because my connection with God is disconnected. I had to think about the kind of music that I was listening to. Is this music elevating my mind to God? Is it keeping that communication open? Is God able to speak to me through this music? Now, at that time, when I became aware of this, I was still listening to worldly music. And I always thought, hey, you know, Sabbath, I'll listen to Christian music. The rest of the week, I'll just listen to everything else, you know. But I understood that God could not speak to me through that music. And so when I was listening to that music, I wasn't praying. God wasn't speaking to me. There's no communication. What you watch on TV, the movies that you watch, same thing. You know, I began recognizing I would sit in programs that I thought was completely harmless and started recognizing that my connection with God was interrupted during that time. So there were a lot of things that I before didn't think, you know, were wrong, that now I realize, hey, if they are not allowing me to be in that pray without ceasing position, then I must let it go. There were a lot of things that had to go. There are a lot of things that had to go. Environments that are not conducive to that. And that's something that we personally, each of us, have to seek for. There's people in our lives, there's things in our lives that only God can show us. You know, and as we seek to have that continual communication with God, he will show us the things that need to go. Because we will feel it. And if we truly have that passion for God, that desire to have that passion for God, we will, you know, we will be seeking continually to know what the Lord wants us to let go of so that we can have that communication. In Gospel Workers, page 257, she says, a living Christian is one who lives a life of continual prayer. A living Christian. We have a lot of Christians. Some of us are dead. But a living Christian is one who lives a life of continual prayer. Of continual prayer. For a long time, I was a dead Christian, and I'm still striving to be a living one. So I praise the Lord that, you know, He's giving me light along the way. Those who teach and preach the most effectively are those who wait humbly upon God and watch hungrily for His guidance and His grace. Watch, pray, work. This is the Christian's watchword. The life of a true Christian is a life of constant prayer. That's in Gospel Workers, page 257. Now, another thing that's important for us to have that passion for God is the study of His Word. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. Study. Now, it doesn't say read. It doesn't say just sit in the church and listen to the word being preached. It says study. So we have to really take time to study the word of God, that we may be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found myself in a lot of shameful situations because I was unable to give a reason for the faith that I have. I was unable to show people from the Word of God because I had not studied it for myself. I've made many mistakes and sometimes said, you know, taught people the wrong things because I did not study for myself. That's a very shameful situation. It says here, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is important, especially in these times when there's going to be so much, that the devil is going to be working in so many ways to deceive us. The deceptions are going to be within our church. Everywhere, they're here. For us to divide between what's truth and what's not, we must be in the study of the Word every day, continually studying the Word of God. John 5:39. says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus speaking says, they are they which testify of me. Says, search. Search. Now, I have the bad habit of collecting too many things. And then when I need something, I can't find it. Because I have just so many things, I just don't know where they are. I've had moments when I have been searching for something. And there's a lot of things I have to move. And there's a lot of, you know, I spend a lot of time in that. A lot of energy goes into it. A lot of wasted time, I think. But when we're searching the Word of God, we need to be removing some things. We need to be spending some time. We need to be digging up. We can't just look at the surface. We have to search. These are they which testify of him. If we want to have a passion for God, we need to know who God is, and we can only know that as we spend time in his word. This is where he reveals himself to us, and he reveals his will for our lives. So we need to spend time in the word of God. The third thing that I've seen in the lives of people who have a passion for God is that they are part of the work of God. Now, there's different aspects of the work of God, but as we minister to others, there is no doubt that we are going to grow in our passion for God. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 27. Here it says, verse 27, chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here is describing pure religion as ministering to those in need. So we cannot say or expect to have a passion for God if we are just praying and studying, but not ministering to people. Not ministering to people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. In the end times, when the Lord meets with us, some of us will be surprised. Chapter 25, verse 34. And here Jesus speaking says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now these are the ones that have made it. Now let's see how he describes his people. He says, for I was an hunger and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now notice he doesn't say, come blessed of thy Father, all those you who were sitting in the church every Sabbath, or paid your tithe. He's describing here a people who receive a light and share it with others. Now, selfishness, we know, is sin. When we receive such a wonderful, precious message that was given to us in the Bible and in the writings of Ellen G. White, and we don't share it, we are being selfish. We are committing a sin. This was given to us that we may share it. And we can share it. It will not always be in preaching. It says here, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. As we are fed by the Lord and we see what he does for us, we will share that with others. The bread of life and the physical bread as well. So we need to be part of God's work. Part of God's work. So as we think about people who are passionate for God, and we desire to be passionate for God, we need to be looking at these three areas in our life. How is my prayer life? How is my study of the Word of God? How am I spending time ministering to others? Am I reaching out to people? These things need to be in our minds. A short while after that young man came to a church, the Lord led me to visit the church where he was a member. And I got to meet that young man. And it was soon after I met him that I realized why he has such a passion for God. This young man spent hours studying the Word of God. he spent hours in prayer. And he held a Bible study in his house 3 times a week. Hmm. 3 times a week. I couldn't believe it. I found out about it. I went there, and that place was packed with young people. Every week, 3 times a week, these young people were working. They were going to school. Still, they found time to go there. Some of them were driven by their own passion for God, and others were drawn by the passion they saw in others. But they were there, and there was the environment of heaven. You can feel it there. When you're around people who have a passion for God, they carry the environment of heaven with them. And you saw it there. So this young man was studying his word, he was praying, and he was sharing. And not only in that Bible study, but there he shared testimonies all the time about how he was sharing at work and at school with others about God. As I think about the people in my life now that I know are passionate about God, I see those three things as well. And I feel myself, I'm seeking to have that passion. I'm not there yet. But I understand that it has that passion is growing in my life as I have grown in my prayer life, as I have grown in the study of the word, and as I've grown in ministering to others. This past few months that I was working with the Discovery Zoe as a Bible worker, and I went into people's homes. There's just no way you can't not, you know, you can't avoid growing in a passion for God when you see what it does in other people's lives, when you see the miracles. I mean, I hear people say, how come we don't have miracles in the church anymore? You know, the greatest miracle is a life change for Christ. And those miracles are happening, and yet they still miracles of people being healed. That's still happening. But the greatest miracle, I was part of that. I was able to see it. When you go into a person's house and you open the word of God before them and they know nothing about it and they begin to see it and you see it in their eyes, the joy of understanding what it means to them. And when you go week after week and you see the changes already happening. When you see the word of God working in their lives, it just, the passion that you have for God will grow when you see this. So these are very important parts in our lives. And I urge each of us to search in our hearts and say, Lord, what part of my life do I need to change that I may grow in that passion for God? That I may have a passion like the one that Moses had. That I may have a passion that like the one that Daniel had. A passion like those three Hebrew boys that were willing to be, they said, you know, our Lord will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, they were willing to go in there. A passion like Paul and Ellen G. White. We need to plead for that. And as we plead for it, the Lord will show us. And he will give us the desire to seek him more in prayer. He will give us the desire to seek him more in the study of the word. And he will give us the desire to reach out more to others. If we ask him, he will show us just who to share with and when. He will give us opportunities. They're there. We just don't see them. But if we pray, the Lord will show them to us. So that is my plea to you today, and to myself as well, that we will seek to have that passion. Some of us may have a passion for God, and we just want that passion to grow deeper. Some of us may just not have it. For years, I saw people with a passion for God, and I thought, Lord, how come I don't have it? How come I don't have it? I was in the church for years, since I was 8 years old until I was 20. I was in the church, and I was in every part of the ministry of the church, and I knew about God. And I loved what God was. I thought it was awesome. And that's why I say that I love church. But I didn't have a passion for God. I didn't have a personal experience with God. And when I saw people that did, I envied it so much. And I said, Lord, how come I don't have it? And it did not begin until I started studying for myself and I started spending time with the Lord at home. The time I was spending in church was important. The work I was doing for the church was important. But that without the other two was not going to do it. Was not going to do it. I began to have a victorious life in Christ when I began to know him personally. So if you have a desire to grow in your passion for God, please stand with me as we pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many testimonies of your people that had a passion for you in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you give us in your Word and for the direction that you give us in our lives. I pray, dear Lord, that you will give us a passion for you, that you will help us to see what we have to do in our lives, that we will grow in that passion day after day, and that it will be so great that everyone around us will see it and they will be drawn to you because of it. I pray, dear Jesus, that as we walk out of this place, we will not leave the way we came in, but that your Holy Spirit will go in our hearts, and that the words from your Bible, Lord, and from the writings of Ellen G. White will continue in our hearts to minister to us and to help us, Lord, to seek the passion that you desire to give to each of us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.
You can stay standing for our closing song. We have this hope. 2:14.